Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Now, in a move designed for you to miss it, the FBI on Labor Day weekend has buried a release of the Clinton email investigation documents and interview notes. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for my friend, and he actually is my friend. We had a hilarious exchange of emails late last night. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for my friend Michael Savage. I welcome your phone calls. The phone number here is 1-855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. The website is www.michaelsavage.com. That's Michael Savage, one word. And I will be mentioning, as the show unfolds today, Michael's amazing new book, Scorched Earth, which is available on Amazon. You can pre-order your copy now, and it's worth having. Okay, so the FBI has now dumped on Labor Day weekend the email investigation documents, the interview notes, and we've learned an awful lot about Hillary Clinton, and it's going to fit into the context of today's show. Get this. She claims she did not know in her emails that the letter C stood for classified. Right? She couldn't be bothered about digital security. She was Secretary of State, and she didn't even realize that the letter C, which was marked on her emails, denoted classified information, according to the notes of this interview that was conducted by the FBI with her in July. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got debates coming up yet. And they've announced the moderators. Have you seen this one? The moderators are going to be Lester Holt from NBC, Anderson Cooper of CNN, Martha Raddatz of ABC, and Chris Wallace. I mean, I know it's crossed your mind in the past. It certainly crosses mine. I mean, who approves of these moderator suggestions of the candidates, right? We're told that the Commission on Presidential Debates decides this. But the Commission of Presidential Debates feels like the Bushes have organized it, don't they? Do you agree with the moderator selections? I do not. I mean, these people are leftists, and Chris Wallace, that's my opinion, my accusation, my observation. Chris Wallace, I don't know how hard he can be on Hillary and how, I mean, they're all looking for a gotcha moment with Trump, you have to admit. Should Trump reject some of these far liberal moderators? And why doesn't anyone who's running for president ever do that? Ladies and gentlemen, the world is a mess. Hillary equals Obama. Obama equals Kerry and Hillary. My wife had a nickname for her. She had a fantastic title for a book about Obama called The Man Who Broke the Earth. So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. What does Trump need to do in the debates, and should he reject the liberal moderators? That's the first thing. The second thing I want to ask you seriously is this. Do you think that the right is sabotaging Donald Trump? You know, there are two sides of the right very active around us. There's the Clinton, the Bush Rhino family. They still won't support Trump, which is a disgrace. They're a disgraceful family. We've come to know more and more about them, and none of it's good. This dynasty, this entitled dynasty, speaking of entitled dynasties, there's Hillary Clinton. Two sides of the right. The Bush side, the entitled side, the Rhino side. And on the other hand, the so-called self-appointed conservatives, who have gone so far from what the definition of conservatism is, that it's unrecognizable. The people who are the self-appointed conservatives out there talking today are people that Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan would not recognize their description of it. So is the right sabotaging Trump? Are the two sides of the right trying their darndest to sabotage Trump? When I listen to talk radio, conservative talk radio, and I've been doing it on and off during the past couple of weeks, I was out of the country until Sunday, but listening this week, even here in Los Angeles on morning shows, and I hear so-called conservatives just doing the job of bashing Trump. And Trump has been remarkable, ladies and gentlemen. Remarkable. I have been watching this. People say, well, doesn't Trump's racism bother you? And I have to say to them with a straight face, I don't notice it. I hadn't seen it, and I'm not a racist. Doesn't his impulsivity bother you? I haven't noticed it. I see a sort of brilliant man, a savant, playing out his real art of the deal with the country. everything, almost everything that you've heard about Trump is part of a false narrative. And it is very easy to be seduced into believing the false narrative about Donald Trump. We watched the other day, when Donald Trump went down to Mexico, I expected the next day we were going to be flooded with talk about this awesome trip, the game-changing trip, the jujitsu moment of the election. I thought we would be hearing about it all over the media, praising it as it deserves profound praise, because it is Reagan-esque, and that will bother a few of the conservatives who want to, a few people on the right who want to sabotage Trump. It was Reagan-esque, it's worthy, it's praiseworthy, and I was shocked that even in the world of so-called conservative talk radio, there was none of the praise I expected for Trump's amazing trip to Mexico. The story has been largely ignored. So the question is, there's this false narrative, and are you able to see through it, or are you also having trouble seeing through it? And if you are, please call me here at the Savage Nation at 1-855-400-7282, and I will help you through it. Now, do you agree with me that Donald Trump's trip to Mexico was a game changer? And because we now know that Hillary Clinton was also invited on this trip, should she have gone? You know, Hillary has had over 270 days with no press conferences, not one. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Do you think it's time that she came out of her, wherever she's hiding up in her hole, in her shell, and gave some press conferences and started talking to us? I mean, we hear all sorts of, we hear endlessly that Donald Trump is a narcissist. We hear this being thrown around, the worst sort of hate speech about this man being thrown around. None of it, virtually none of it, having any basis in fact. I ask you, who is the narcissist? Is it Trump or is it Obama? Or is it Hillary? Take your pick of the narcissist. So now, if you were visiting one of the most beautiful places in the world, and I refer to Lake Como in Italy. I went there last summer. I was going to go there again this summer on my vacation with my wife. Do you know that Lake Como, one of the most beautiful places on the earth, expensive place, now it's being flooded with immigrants coming in. Lake Como, you may know, is the famous city where George Clooney lives. He has his $20 or $30 million mansion over there. Immigrants have been, they go to Switzerland, and Switzerland closes their borders. They send them right back to Lake Como. So now the Italian authorities have approved of a sort of tent camp in town to house these people. It's the most picturesque place you can imagine. Clooney lives there, as you know. But if you went there today, you would be shocked to find that it is not just people, you know, looking for rest, relaxation, vacation, and the sun. It is a home for migrants who've been turned away from Switzerland. The train station is loaded with sleeping bags. There are little tent cities popping up all over the place. So my question is this, asked with a sort of straight face, do you think that this gives George Clooney and his lady, his wife, a great opportunity to open their estate and welcome these wonderful migrants? Because, let's face it, George Clooney supports policies that would want open borders, doesn't he? Liberals can never, ever, ever do as they say others should do, can they? They never practice what they preach. So then over here in Saudi Arabia, we see the news that 27 Christians have been arrested in Saudi Arabia and deported for doing what? For conducting Christian prayers in a private residence. Now, Saudi Arabia is our great friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Saudi Arabian officials have arrested 27 people. And among them, there's women, there's children, there's kids, all for the crime of conducting Christian prayers and being in possession of Bibles. This is being reported in the Arab media. Ladies and gentlemen, these people were just Christians. They were celebrating a feast day of the Virgin Mary, and suddenly authorities storm the residence and arrest them. And this is the religious police over there. They stripped them of their visas. They deported them back to Lebanon. And look, the irony here is that this is a much better fate then that is given to other Christians caught in engaging in acts of Christianity in the Islamic kingdom, because that can include torture, long jail sentences. In 2012, we saw Ethiopians arrested in the kingdom, and they were abused in prison for almost a year for simply holding a private house prayer. The Saudis, ladies and gentlemen, are full of hatred toward non-Muslims. This will fit into our narrative today. And no Western media, other than here on the Savage Nation, has been reporting the recent harassment, the arrest, the abuse, the deportations of Christians for privately celebrating their faith in the Arabian Peninsula. We'll discuss that today. John Kerry, related to this, is out there suggesting that knowledge about such things is dangerous. He said, John Kerry said this yesterday or the day before. He said this. He said, remember, no country is immune from terrorism. He said, it's easy to terrorize. Government and law enforcement have been correct 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They have to be correct all the time. But if you decide one day you're going to be a terrorist and you're going to kill yourself, you can go out and kill people. And then Kerry says this creepy sentence. He says, you can make noise. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on. The idea being that it would be better for you if you did not know what's going on. I said a moment ago, Trump, or rather Hillary, equals Obama, equals Kerry. These very people would like you to not know what's going on. Remember, it was Kerry who suggested during the Charlie Hebdo situation in Paris that some terrorism against some people for being offended might be justified. None of it's justified, ladies and gentlemen. Not in the slightest. So, it's the Savage Nation. Michael's book, Scorched Earth, you should order it early. There's a line he quoted from it. I'll quote it to you now. I love this line. Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away. It was assassinated. And that was by a French scholar. And that's the theme that Michael develops further and further in his book, Scorched Earth. You can order a copy now on Amazon. And it's a wonderful book. We have a lot to get to. The questions before us. What does Trump need to do in the debates? Should Trump reject the liberal moderators? I mean, Trump is a game changer in every method you can imagine. Is the right sabotaging Donald Trump? These are the questions on the Savage Nation. And who's the narcissist, Trump, Obama, or Hillary? And are you being fooled by the false narrative surrounding Donald Trump? And lastly, do you believe that Trump's trip to Mexico is the game changer that I believe? And should Hillary have gone? It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. So much to get to. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
People out there who would have you believe that Donald Trump was for some reason, recent weeks flip-flopping on one of his signature issues, immigration, which was not the case. There was no flip-flopping. Anyone who's been paying close attention knows that that's not the case. They know that there's a false narrative that you are being endlessly sold by the left media and by many people on the so-called right. Hello, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Michael Savage is not here today. It is Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael. The phone number, 1-855-400-7282. Please call in. I welcome your calls. Yes, I think that what Donald Trump did yesterday, or rather on Wednesday, it was a great day. Do you agree with me? This was a game changer. He changed the entire momentum of the presidential race and was barely covered. Of course, the left, in their coverage of it, were just full of the expected ridicule. That's most of the media. And the right ignored it entirely. Now, Donald Trump continues on this trail. He's going to win the presidency. And we must make that happen, incidentally. There is no excuse for electing Hillary Clinton. So when Trump went around on Wednesday, he first flew to Mexico, at Mexico City, And he laid on that day a foundation for a very, very strong presidential win. I mean, look, if you were one of those people that thought that Trump needed to look more presidential, then that event is a home run. And if a picture is worth a thousand words, this whole picture shouted President Trump. The optics, it shouted President Trump more eloquently than any campaign spokesman could do. By the way, I don't know if you know this little fact, he flew down there to Mexico City in an unmarked plane. And apparently, you know, this surprised a lot of people because everyone expects, well, Trump is going to make an entrance that's a grand entrance with great fanfare. Not so. Wednesday, he had a small entourage in a little charter plane. It was you could only call it a historic visit. The campaign originally aimed to get Trump in Mexico under the radar, so that the news of the meeting wouldn't break to the press prematurely. And then apparently there were security concerns that were voiced by the Mexican officials and also U.S. Secret Service. And so they said, okay, we're going to leave the signature 757 with the big gold letters that spell Trump. Leave that behind and head down there. So he's joined by RNC Chairman Rentz Priebus. He's joined by Senator Jeff Sessions, and he's joined by Rudolph Giuliani in a small, unmarked jet for this amazing and historic trip to the Mexican capital. And he goes there, and it is political jujitsu, a meeting of historic proportions. He left his opponents and the criticism that they often throw at him, that he's a buffoon, that he's a bigot, there's an idiot, you know, all of this, when you simply open your eyes and you watch the man, none of this stuff is true that they throw at him. Lord knows they want it to stick. Now, he had no trouble in Mexico, and he did far more than avoiding trouble. If you watched him, he appeared to take charge. He appeared to be the opposite of all the caricatures of him as an ignoramus or a bigot, the narrative that the left and Hillary would love to paint, and many on the right. He was poised. He was presidential. He had bearing in the company of another head of state. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. Your calls right after this break, and much more to say.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. 855-400-7282 is the number. Michael's book is called Scorched Earth. Get it? Get it? I'll be discussing it a little bit later on. You know, I have known quite a few people who have been on the fence about Donald Trump. And look, he fought a very vicious, tough primary battle, and he won it. And certain characters that claim to be really the real genuine conservatives on the right, who are bitter about this, they claim he didn't win it fair and square, and they'll sell you on the idea of all sorts of strategy as to why he won by default. I mean, he won it fair and square. It was vicious. Politics are vicious. And yes, at times he came across as coarse, perhaps a little vulgar to some people. But since then, I am hearing from people all around my circles that he's earning their respect as someone who can be a true leader. I do not know of a modern-day politician who has captured the public's imagination, the zeitgeist, quite like Donald Trump has. Not in my memory, not since Ronald Reagan. Now, Donald Trump is not Ronald Reagan. Don't call me up and explain that. But he has very, very similar beliefs about what conservatism is. And don't let anyone tell you different. Both of those men told hard truths, the hard truths of their times. That is why Donald Trump is the right man for these times. Now, you have Hillary Clinton. She takes the time to bash Trump, of course, for accepting an invitation from the Mexican president. Therefore, in a certain backhanded way, that insults the Mexican president as well, because she was given the same invitation, and she turned him down. So, you know, we get a great example of the political instincts from the smartest woman in the world. I mean, just like Obama, she's leading from behind. And how has that worked out? How has leading from behind worked out, ladies and gentlemen, during the past 7.5 years? Donald Trump is out there. He looks vigorous. He looks energetic. By contrast, well, I don't want to say how I thought Hillary Clinton is looking and has looked, because it's you know, you can see with your own eyes. Look, the border security, the building the wall, the enforcing the laws, this is all key. Clinton doesn't care about building a wall. George W. Bush didn't care about either. Obviously, Obama doesn't care about it. If George W. Bush was serious about immigration reform, he would have concentrated on border security. Then his proposals might have, including building a wall, then his proposals might have had some credibility, might have had some support. Instead, George W. Bush, like Clinton, like Obama, they focus on this idea of punishing employers, imposing more regulations, more fines for hiring illegals. The idea was to let the illegals in the country, but punish employers for hiring them, instead of the more logical approach of preventing them in the first instance. At some point in today's show, I'll tell you what Mexico's policies are about illegals coming into that country. But I promised I would get to your calls in this segment, and Gail at KCMO has been holding for a while. Gail, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm not fooled by anything, because I'm a truck driver, and I listen to many, many talk shows of all kinds, and whenever I hear the downing, I don't believe any of it, because I hear him for myself, and he's not this prejudiced thing at all. I think he's a very caring person, and when he saw what Obama was doing to the nation, woke up and decided, wow, you know, somebody's got to do something about this mess that he's doing, and decided that he would be the one that would jump in. And I'm so glad he did. He's a very strong-minded person. And I think he wants to do what's right for the American people, and I'm crazy about him.
Can you tell something, Gail? Can you tell how afraid the media and the left are that this man might win just from the crazy way they're acting?
He's not crazy at all.
No, the crazy way the left is acting, the media is acting, can you tell how much they're afraid of this man winning?
Oh, they're paranoid. They're psycho.
They're taking him more seriously than many people on the so-called right are. I mean, my theory is that there are many people on the right who are sabotaging him.
Unbelievable. I can't believe even Ted Cruz. He's a traitor. He's a complete traitor. I can't believe what he's done. You know, he will not forgive and forget, and they're judging, and just everything that is unchristian they're doing to him.
Ted Cruz, look, I was not on the radio at the time because that's not my profession. I could have done hours about how dangerous this guy was, how flawed and imperfect this guy was, much more than any candidate in the race in many ways. We got to see a little bit of his true colors. I think that the American public has a long memory about someone like Cruz and how he's conducted himself. And the fact that he has not yet come out and supported Trump, and I doubt he ever will, it's going to be irrelevant anyway. Look, Cruz was hoping to win Indiana. That became the big state. That was the conservative state. That was the Christian state. And you know what? The people of Indiana said, we want a strong leader. We want a strong leader, and we're looking at this guy who's going to be very focused on the economy, very focused on immigration, and very focused on national security. A guy who loves the veterans, loves the police. And my goodness, what is the bad stuff about Trump? And that's why they're going crazy.
Yeah, unbelievable. But I got to tell you, I run into a lot of immigrants from everywhere. I talked to a guy from Bosnia. I talked to a guy from Urania, the one that's being attacked by Russia.
The Ukraine.
I talked to a guy that was from...
it doesn't matter.
Right here in the United States, but it's Puerto Rico. And he told me yesterday, he said his family is telling him to vote for Trump. And right. He didn't understand why, but I was telling him why, and his mouth just fell open. He couldn't believe it. And I said, you're going to vote for Hillary? And he goes, No, he goes, my family tells me to vote for Trump.
You know something, Gail? I travel around a lot. I'm in England. I'm in Bulgaria. I was recently in a country in the Caribbean, and I was there looking for a cemetery plot. That's another matter. I'll get to that a little later. The fact is that wherever I go, in whatever circles I'm traveling in, if I ask a British taxi driver in London what they think of the American political situation, and they will normally tell me once they hear my accent, they know I'm an American. The people around the world in the countries I go to who love Trump and want him to win, it's universal. Now, it's not a scientific poll, but it's usually a very reliable poll. Does it surprise you that so many people I encounter overseas want him to win?
No, it doesn't, because, like I said, I talk to people of Bosnia and Ukraine, and they're in shock when I tell them that she's a communist. And I lead them on to talk radio. Most of the reason why the low information are people are like they are is because they have no idea about talk radio. They don't know that.
Well, I'll tell you something, Gail. Why they like him from these countries? They like him because the world is better. Even Putin feels the world is better when America is strong, a strong balance, and a reliable partner in negotiations. The whole world is better when we're stronger, and everybody out there knows that except the left in America.
Right, because they want to control people and have a communist world, and we're not wanting that. And the world knows that we fought communism all these years just to stay free. They know it.
So, Gail, I got to go in a second, but I got to ask you the most important thing. What is it you're driving today?
A Freightliner.
What's in it? Do you have any idea?
What do you mean? I'm sitting at Freightliner. My truck broke down today.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, at least you got to call the Savage Nation. I got to have this very pleasant little private chat with you, Gail.
Yes, I love it.
I love it too. You're really smart. You're a great caller. Thank you so much for calling the Savage Nation, Gail. You have a great day. I hope the truck gets fixed soon. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are very, 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 very few leaders today. I mean, every politician you've seen, the reason there's not those other people on the stage after, and Trump was the last man standing, is all of them put their finger in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. Trump is different. Trump is quite different. Most definitely a leader. Not a guy wetting his finger and put it in the air. This is a very significant factor in why so many people support him. And you'll hear the left say out there, oh, Donald Trump is the least qualified candidate, the least qualified nomination by any party in our nation's history. Have they forgotten Barack Obama? Barack Obama was and remains the least qualified person to be elected, to be nominated, to be elected twice, and to win in our nation's history. And the reasons he got elected, you know, books are being written and more books will be written over that topic than we have yet seen. Trump's positions are clear. He spells them out when he speaks. He spells them out on his website. You can disagree with some of them, but my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, the other option is not an option. So he goes to Mexico. He takes charge. The idea that there were caricatures that we're supposed to believe of him as an ignoramus, a bigot, he was presidential. In his bearing, in his body language, in his vocal tone, the media want you to believe he's an idiot, that he's a monster, that he's unhinged. And yet, what do I see? Maybe you see the same thing. I see a man out there who's working to become the president, working hard, flying around city after city with endless stamina, working to become president. As opposed to someone like Hillary, who's not working to become president because she feels entitled to be president. And you know, and I know, that we need a worker. She did not go to Mexico, so we'll never know what kind of performance she would have given. I mean, look, I defy you to find negative stories about Clinton, even the way they bury these email stories. Do you realize that when he was down there in Mexico, when Trump was down there, the president of Mexico spoke first, and he said that he recognized our right to build a wall. And I nearly fell out of my chair. And I thought, yes, Trump has sold him on our right to build a wall. Because one of the things that you watch if Trump is elected, and I hope he is, that will come into the conversation are Mexico's own immigration policies, which we will mirror. And even the president of Mexico can't disagree with America wanting the same policies that he has. So we got the Mexican president to agree that the border needs to be secured, to agree to renegotiate NAFTA, to agree that illegal border crossings must stop. And as a bonus, the Mexican president gave, you know, the Hillary regime a backhanded slap in the face by talking about the guns being smuggled into Mexico. That's the Hillary Obama regime. This is, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly would have been if it was covered properly by the mainstream media, by the conservative media, this would be a win, 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 and a bonus win for Trump. In America, it's not just called a home run, that's called a grand slam. He accomplished more in four hours as a candidate than Hillary Clinton did in 4 years as Secretary of State, that Obama has done in 7.5 years. I'm running a little long here, so I got to scoot, ladies and gentlemen. It's Doug Urbanski. I welcome your calls at 855-400-7282, filling in for my friend Michael Savage on his show, The Savage Nation. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I don't know if any of you caught this. When Trump made his simply dazzling immigration speech in Arizona, somewhere buried in there, in my memory at least, he referred to the fact that Hillary has been evading justice. Hillary's been evading justice. I can't wait for these debates. I cannot wait for. Can you? Cannot wait. Do you? I don't know if any of you are old enough. I certainly am to remember the day that Ronald Reagan, and it always takes a hardliner to make advances. Now, I'm no fan of Richard Nixon, but he was a strong anti-communist, and he opened a dialogue with China. He opened a dialogue with Brezhnev and the Soviet Union. And you may debate whether opening China was a good or a bad thing, and there's a good reason to debate it. But it took someone like Ronald Reagan, who was a fierce anti-communist for about 40 years, or almost 35 years, before he was elected president. Fierce. It took someone like Ronald Reagan to open a conversation with the Soviet Union that eventually brought them down. I remember very well when he went, and you know, I have a son who's 26, and it has occurred to me that it would be very hard to explain to him what it was like living under the Iron Curtain, those of us who remember it, what it was like to live when the Berlin Wall was there. Hard to explain to someone who's of that generation what it was like when the world had these things hanging over our heads. Reagan went to the Soviet Union, and he went and spoke to universities, and he went and spoke to places he shouldn't have spoken to. Shouldn't, if you were the Soviet leader. He embarrassed them. He aimed to embarrass them. And he talked about freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, human rights, which, by the way, used to be front on the burner of all American policies and conversation. We don't talk about human rights anymore. We embrace the worst of the worst of the worst offenders of human rights. My goodness, you see what this administration has done with Iran, and they're one of the world's worst human rights violators. So we used to pay a lot of attention. When Reagan came home from that trip to Moscow, I remember so well the helicopter flew him from Edwards Air Force Base, flew him to the Capitol. You saw the helicopter land, he got out, and he got up and he gave a speech. And it was a hard speech about the Soviet Union, a place he had called the evil empire, a place he said he wanted to offend them. When they said, "Mr. President, you've got to take out these words, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," they said it'll offend them. He said, "I want to offend them." Trump's speech when he got back from Mexico City, from talking with the president of Mexico, was Reagan-esque in every way. And the greatest detail of any policy that any politician has given during this entire election cycle. I want to get to some of you people who are holding. You'll have to wait till after this news break. It's Doug Grabansky filling in for Michael Savage. We'll be back very shortly.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I'm watching the Drudge headlines as they come up here. Labor Day, the FBI has released the Clinton email investigation documents, the interview notes. They buried it, hoping you won't notice it. Her server account was apparently breached. She lost cell phones that had classified information. She didn't understand the markings on emails, didn't understand that the letter C on an email meant classified. There's extensive evidence, says Drudge here, that she violated federal records laws. She withheld about 17,000 plus emails. And it's just, you know, it's staggering, ladies and gentlemen. It's Doug Grabansky filling in for Michael Savage. I forgot to say that. Michael's not here today. He'll be back next week. And the phone number, I welcome your calls. 1-855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. The website, www.michaelsavage.com. That's one word. And Michael's wonderful new book. You can pre-order it now, Scorched Earth. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as the show unfolds. Yeah, the most undercover story of the election is that there's a false narrative endlessly being written about Donald Trump, and a lot of people are believing it, but it's a false narrative. I'm hoping that you're seeing through it. He gave an immigration speech the other day. It was pure Reagan-esque. It was a barn burner, a real barn burner. I applaud him and that speech every step of the way. His enemy is not just Hillary Clinton, you understand. It is the Republican Party. There's two groups on the right that are sabotaging Trump. The rhinos, the Bush crowd, and then the so-called, you know, self-appointed conservatives who have perverted the idea of what it actually means to be a conservative. If you want to know, go to Ronald Reagan's CPAC speech of 1977. It is the blueprint. I'll explain it to you if I have to today, if any of you are curious. It was a barn burner. The Republican Party and the so-called people on the right are sabotaging this guy, and yet he's out there neck and neck in the polls. Someone said to me that if Trump was elected, that it will be the end of the Republican Party, to which I, you can answer flippantly, if Hillary is elected, it'll be the end of America. But the Republican Party is in need of being reinvented. It's almost in danger of being held hostage by the worst elements of conservatism. So, look, Donald Trump cares what happens to this nation. He cares what happens to our society. He cares what happens to our values. That's Donald Trump. Now, it is true, a lot of people have a lot to lose. If he's elected, if he wins, it is the end of the old world, the old neocon run, the old globalist-dominated Republican Party, and it will begin something new. It will begin a new era of America First, and I don't know why it's such a bad thing to say it's a nationalist party. You would think, to hear some people talk, that that's a bad thing. This is what the people who voted for Donald Trump want. The Never Trumpers, well, I welcome you to go to the other party. You will feel much more at home. You will feel much more comfortable if you go to the other party. World is a mess. Hillary, Obama, Kerry, they're the same characters, all of them. These debates are coming up. You saw, I mentioned it earlier, they're being moderated by Lester Holt, Anderson Cooper, Martha Raddatz of ABC. She's a problem for me, especially. What does Trump need to do, ladies and gentlemen, in these debates? I'd love to know what you think what he needs to accomplish. I'd love to know if you think that Trump should reject the liberal moderators of the debates. I always wonder how that comes into being. This is the Commission on Presidential Debates decides who these characters are going to be. And I certainly would not approve of some of them. So Trump goes to Mexico City, and I expected the coverage of this to be endlessly amazing. because it was a historic visit. It was a game-changing visit. And it was largely ignored by the so-called right-leaning conservative media, and in the liberal press, they've called him every name in the book here. So there's the Trump false narrative. Are you able, my dear friends, to see through the false narrative? Are you having trouble seeing through the false narrative? Do you agree with me that Donald Trump's trip to Mexico was a game changer? Should Hillary have gone? She was invited, you know. She has 270 plus days of no press conference. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? And what do you think about the fact that human rights, which was once the hallmark, the pillar of American foreign policy, is now gone? That's embarrassing to me. Do you think it's important to restore the idea of human rights? So Donald Trump, he displays these rather remarkable virtues, these extraordinary virtues. One of the things that stands out about this man is he exposes the falsehoods of things that we are taught to believe. He exposes the falsehood of political correctness. He dispels illusions. He dispelled the illusions that his rivals were the strongest field of candidates in the party's history. They weren't. He dispelled the illusion that the party will decide the nomination. Mm-mm. The people did. Who knows? Who has a crystal ball amongst you right now to know what else he's going to dispel as a accepted dogma, as an accepted illusion? What else will he dispel as false between now and November? Nothing is more significant than this. He has dispelled the idea that there is a conservative movement. So he has exposed this notion that rather than being a dominant force in the Republican Party, Trump teaches us conservatives, according to the kidnapped definition by many so-called conservatives, that they are just another pressure group. And it doesn't appear that they're a particularly large pressure group. Because in state after state after state, voters said that they didn't care so much about conservative orthodoxy on the economy or foreign policy or what used to be called family values. They wanted a leader. This is in the backdrop of many Americans remembering George W. Bush. That presidency is a complete disaster, as history has been rewritten there. It's not a good one. So Trump has really dispelled this notion, and Ronald Reagan says it in the speech, the CPAC speech I always refer to as the blueprint of 1977, that conservatism is not an ideology. It is not a rigorous, hard, rigid ideology. It is not a particular type of dogma. It is a very simple thing. You do what works, you abandon what doesn't work. That's it. In short, conservatism, as Ronald Reagan says in that speech, is knowing when to come in from out of the rain. So, the idea that we have limited government, anti-communist foreign policy, these are important things, and Trump accepts all of those things. We don't talk about human rights any longer in this country. It's a little bit embarrassing that we no longer do that, if you ask me. But one of the things, one result of true conservatism that you hear these people blathering about that they represent, is that it is very narrow-minded. It is very rigid. It is very much the opposite of what conservatism is. They've hijacked the very word. Goldwater warned us that this would happen. The conservative movement became isolated. It became myopic. It became lazy. And they've confused us. They've kidnapped what the very definition of conservatism should be. Meanwhile, we're told that Trump, that the media, the left-wing media, want us to believe that Trump is some sort of egomaniac, that he's a narcissist. They call him amazingly narcissistic. Nope. Who's more of a narcissist? Trump, Obama, or Hillary? Her, with 270-plus days of no press conference. Is Donald Trump a narcissist? I mean, that's a good question, but it's not the interesting question. Because no one ever talks about the marking that suggests that Barack Obama, may be a narcissist. Let's face it. Trump gets in trouble constantly, we hear, for degrading people who disagree with him. Obama has degraded people who disagree with him on matters of policy and principle constantly. Obama's own vice president, Joe Biden, he referred to opponents of Obamacare as economic terrorists. He used the word terrorists. There was no apology for that. Not from Biden. Not from Obama. No apology. Nor would it ever occur to these people to apologize. Do you remember when the press used to ask George W. Bush, do you have anything that you want to apologize for? Has anyone asked this of Obama? Because in their minds and their pals in the press, Obama is right. If you disagree with the left, if you disagree with the liberals, the narrative goes that you are then evil, and you are evil-intentioned. Because, after all, what else but evil could explain why we disagree with the left? Obama, Hillary Obama, Kerry is with them. Because think of this, think of the things Kerry says. I bring him up, not only is he Secretary of State, he ran for president. They ignore the facts, the logic, the history of socialism. What about the self-evident failures we're witnessing right now about Obamacare? It cannot deliver on its own promises. Keep your doctor, keep your insurance. They provide no defense, nor will they, because they're narcissists, in my humble opinion. And the people who love them and worship them, it's almost a cult of idea of idolatry. They don't worry about the conflicts between objective reality and fantasy. I have never said this before, and I dare you to challenge me on it. I have never seen or know of or heard of the existence of a liberal who is anything other than a low-information person. Because it's as if they are above reality. Obama is a picture-perfect example of a type of narcissism in practice, in my opinion. Better example than Donald Trump any day. Well, at least what Trump has done is he's out there in the real world. And he's been able to survive in the real world of profit and loss, the world of business. Obama has never... Talk about the least qualified man to be president. They say Trump is the least qualified to be president, the least qualified candidate ever. Obama was the least qualified. He never has run anything, never has succeeded, never will. Obama labels everyone who opposes socialism, who supports capitalism. He says you're cold-hearted. He mocks people. He disparages people who disagree with him on gun control, on immigration, on defense cuts, on the supposed pacifism of Islam. His style may not be blunt, may not be brash like Trump's, but the contempt Obama holds for those who disagree with him is evident every time he opens his mouth. Running long here in this segment, ladies and gentlemen. Just getting started still. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. Phone number 1-855-400-7282. I welcome your calls and I promise you I will get to them. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Savage's new book is called Scorched Earth, and ladies and gentlemen, this is the book where Dr. Savage tells you that after 8 divisive years of Barack Obama, he lays out an irrefutable case for how this nation is being undermined by terrorists from without, by anarchists from within, by a president, by politicians who have contempt for the Constitution, the law, and a complicit liberal media. You got to order it. Order it now. You can order it. You can pre-order it on Amazon. It's called Scorched Earth. Would love to see it hit the bestseller list and stay there for a while. It's Michael's opus. It really is. Dr. Michael Savage's opus. It's Doug Urbanski. Phone number is 1-855-400-7282. I want to get to some of your calls. I have much more to say about the narcissist nature of Obama. I'm not finished talking about that. And a few other things. And Trump's amazing trip to Mexico. An amazing speech afterward. But I would like to go to Jim at KSFO. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, sir?
Thank you. I'm fine. I listen to KSFO online every day that I can on my days off. I'm a Canadian, okay? So I'm giving you a perspective from the other side of the border of what I see. When Obama was elected 8 years ago, I gave him a chance, and, you know, I listened to hear what he had to say. It's clear as day for someone on the outside looking at you guys, and I watch you guys. I watch your news because I respect your country a lot. And I'm telling you, as an outsider, Trump is the one that should be elected.
Jim, where in Canada are you?
And it's ridiculous she's even polling where she is. I can't believe you guys...
Wait, but Jim, I don't think you can hear me. Where in Canada are you?
I'm in Toronto.
A favorite city of mine. One of my most favorite Italian restaurants any place on the planet is up there.
Okay. What's it called?
It's called Soto Soto.
Okay. Yep. I'm on...
You know the Yorkville area?
No.
What's that?
I saw Trump on the stage. Okay. Okay. I'll make it short.
I don't think you can hear me up there.
Okay, but I really hope you elect Trump. I saw him on the stage. He's a big man, but he's a gracious man. He was in his element, and for the people who are angry at Trump right now on the, you know, conservative side, I think you're going to come to your senses. I think you're going to sort of move on because the stakes are too high. I wish you guys all the best, and I hope Trump wins.
Well, wait, one more second here, Jim. Do you remember when Mike Pence joined up and, you know, there was a lot of, like, how could you join up with Trump? You're a true conservative. And Pence made the case. He said he had spent time with Trump and his family, and he found them very impressive. He liked Trump and his family, and he found them good people with genuinely wonderful values who cared desperately about this country and about bringing his skill set into the situation to really make America great again. That's what Mike Pence felt it, and he's another barometer worth going to. Jim, thanks so much for calling the Savage Nation, even listening online at KSFO online from Toronto. So you've got this claim out there that Trump serves himself rather than serving others. What does this mean? You're meant to believe that Obama serves others. But Obama doesn't create anything. He doesn't produce anything for anyone. He uses a combination of sort of unearned guilt and coercive power. And his ultimate aim, and he uses it very effectively, is to transfer huge amounts of wealth and resources from people who earned it to people who did not earn it. Obama's not even a competent career politician. He's not even an astute politician, such as the Bushes, the Clintons, who preceded him and who desperately wished they were following him, of course. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, and you know, well, I don't have enough time to get further into this. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. He'll be back next week. 1-855-400-7282. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I mean, this visit by Trump to Mexico and then his immigration speech afterward, he one-upped the Clintons so seriously that the Clintons, the left media, they are having a fit. They are having an absolute fit. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. 1-855-400-7282 is the number. Many calls I'd like to squeeze in. The first one is David at KSFO. David, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, David?
I'm doing excellent, sir. Thank you.
Yes, and your point?
My point is, if Mr. Trump could get all of Hillary's, Mr. Clinton's ex-girlfriend sitting in the front row, front and center, during the debate, I think it would pretty much prove that she's loony as hell.
Well, that's one good suggestion. I mean, the serious suggestion should be, how hard should he prepare for these debates? We assume that Hillary's going to have a lot of lawyerly-like answers, a lot of double-talking. We assume that the past, you know, 6, 7, 8 months of hibernation that she does, this endless rest that she's preparing really hard for these debates. Do you think Trump is going to wing it, or do you think he's going to be hard prepared?
I believe he'll be hard prepared like he was when he went to Mexico.
I think so, too. I think this is the guy, we're seeing the presidentialist side of Trump all around us. Thanks so much, David, for calling the Savage Nation. Skip, also at KSFO. Skip, you had something you wanted to say. You've been holding a very long time about the classified documents, and I want to hear it. So welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you?
thank you for this opportunity to share this information, hopefully educate you, your listeners, and hopefully some of the media types who are being totally misled by what...
Okay, Skip, go for it. What's the news?
Well, it's not about Hillary's emails. It's about failure to protect classified information. And the information we're talking about comes in a message format from the originator. It's marked at the top and bottom of every page with the classification, which can be top secret, secret, confidential, or unclassified in any other caveat.
Now, Skip, how do you come to know this?
I spent 24 years in the intelligence career field in the Air Force, and I spent another 25 years as a government contractor. And my last 3 years as a contractor, I was a systems security engineer.
Okay. You have some credentials. What do all those markings mean for Hillary Clinton?
Well, here's what had to happen. This is important. The originator marks the information in a message format, top and bottom of every page.
Yeah.
Each individual paragraph is also marked with an acronym. So a paragraph marking could be C for confidential. It does not mean classified. It would be, the paragraphs would be marked TSSC or...
It's okay. I'm getting totally bored here. What does it mean for Hillary Clinton? Link it up for me.
Okay, here's what had to happen. Somebody on her staff had to take a classified message, put it on some type of a drive, like a thumb drive, remove the headers and the banners, take that thumb drive, walk across the room from that top secret server to an unclassified server, and send it to Hillary in a email format.
And this is what you think happened?
It's the only way it can happen. God forbid there was ever a hardwire connection between a top secret server and Hillary's email server. And the people who work in those special compartmented information facilities, the worker bees normally have those drives disabled, so only a system administrator has the authority.
Well, we're seeing right now a breaking news story on Politico that someone using something called Tor breached the Clinton email account on the Clinton server. That's a breaking story.
Well, you know, getting into her server that's at the bottom of the story. I mean, the security and protecting classified information. That is why we don't allow that information to get off of those servers unless people with the proper authority can download it and in the proper environment. And somebody should go to jail. And Hillary Clinton's ultimately responsible for whoever on her staff downloaded this information and sent it to her server.
Well, last I got one more question for you. What do you think, because I've got to go along, it's too complicated, but what do you think the motive for such a thing would be, going through all these steps, what do you think the motive would be?
Well, she wanted to protect the other things she was doing, and she didn't want to divulge to the public, and then a lot of it had to be total ignorance. I mean, why would she make a statement? But when she was asked by Brett Baer, well, who determines if it's classified? Well, I don't know. I guess the government does. Well, you know, she, as Secretary of State, has what we call original classification authority.
Right,
So he was being totally misled. The fact that I have never received or sent an email marked classified. Well, yes, that's because somebody in your staff removed the markings, and I'm surprised to find that now they have found some of her emails whose the markings were not totally removed.
All right, Skip. Well, that's all very interesting information, and it continues. Look, thank you very much for calling the Savage Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, will this narrative ever take hold? The FBI releases Hillary Clinton email investigation documents. We learn all sorts of things. They bury it by releasing it. Hopefully, you know, the idea is that you won't notice it. It's Labor Day weekend. And, you know, it shows now that the server account was breached. It shows that she had lost cell phones and sensitive information. She misunderstood the markings. It showed that there was extensive evidence that violated federal records laws, that she withheld 17,000 plus emails. Apparently there's a mega-sized list of things she so-called, quote, could not remember. This is huge stuff. This is huge stuff. The documents, by the way, that the FBI released, total 58 pages. even though a lot of it is redacted. So, yeah, the FBI director announced that he would not recommend criminal charges. But man, oh man, oh man. It appears that he may have slapped the investigators right in the face, because there's an awful lot of stuff still coming out. You wonder what more is going to come out as we approach the months of November. Now, Trump is down there. He's in Mexico. He gives a news conference, as you know, with the president of Mexico, the optics of which we talked about are sensationally terrific for Trump. Did you notice that Trump spoke for the first time in very clear, calm, measured terms about issues? He looked like a president. He acted like a president. Meanwhile, Hillary was looking tired, and I hate to use the word haggard, but she does. Trump is serious about immigration. He was not afraid to meet with the Mexican president, who has criticized him, by the way. This is a very welcome change from Obama, who probably would have groveled or bowed or begged or apologized or some such thing. Trump owns this immigration issue. He saw that the key is to build the wall to stop illegal immigration. This is what gives him credibility, as much as people want to tear him down. All the others talk about reforming this and that, but nobody else says build a wall. These proposals, as you know, are met endlessly with scorn, because we know that they're not serious. They're not serious about stopping illegal immigration. Trump is the only one who's serious. The wall is the proof of it. Trump is a political master of political jujitsu. Do not count him out yet at all, if he stays focused, especially. Look, who of you can recall the debacle at the Republican National Convention, the Ted Cruz debacle? That was Trump, pure Trump jujitsu. Hillary did not go to see the Mexican president. Look, she stiffed the flood victims, too. And you can't help but wonder almost every day if there is or isn't something going on serious with her health. I mean, when have you ever heard of a candidate? Have you ever heard of such a thing where a candidate did not take each and every opportunity to get out there, to play the role? So Trump's trip to Mexico to meet with the president is the difference between someone who is serious about beginning work on day one to resolve a legal immigration issue that has been plaguing this country for decades, and someone who thinks they're entitled to be president, which is what Hillary thinks, that she's entitled to be president. And by the way, she could not care less about illegal immigration. You know it and I know it. What you have to understand is that Donald Trump does things that you and I may think risky, but this is the calculus with which Trump lives his life, his accomplishments, his confidence as a result of this makes him who he is, and that's what makes him bold enough to be a leader, and a leader who it's looking more and more like the leader that we need at this time in our history. Hillary, you're going to have to open a lot more pickle jars on the Jimmy Kimmel show to match this Trump energy, this Trump intelligence. That's all. Let's go to a few more calls here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Doug and Ben. I see people holding. I feel bad that you're waiting for me. Yeah, Alex at WJR. You've been holding a very long time, Alex, and I want to hear what you have to say. Welcome. It's not there. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, Alex. You know, by the way, all Trump needed was one positive thing, one big game changer, and he got it. Like opening the conversation with a foreign head of state, the president of Mexico, on the controversial issue of our time. And you could claim that Trump has already made a more positive impact on U.S. international relations than Mrs. Clinton has done in 4 years as Secretary of State. If she planned a trip like that, my guess is it would take probably, 2 months minimum to endlessly have focus groups, to focus group the whole thing over and over. And professional politicians are so scripted, ladies and gentlemen. It's scary. It's one of the things we love about Trump. He's not scripted in the same way. So, and I have a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, who's Mexican. And he said to me, he thought Trump did very, very well. He was rather amazed by the whole thing down there. And I knew immediately that it was a masterstroke on Trump's part to talk about acting presidential. He's a campaigner, par excellence. And the best part of him being such a great campaigner is that the media can't stand it. And the left can't stand it. That's all. That's all there is. Trump Putin. Can you imagine? He meets with the president of Mexico. Can you imagine if he had a Trump Putin visit, a little summit before November's election? That would finish off Hillary's pretentiousness. It would finish off the idea that she'd be a better choice because of her so-called foreign policy experience. And have you seen how she's left the world in very bad shape? A successful summit meeting with Putin, I think it would just ensure that Trump would be elected president, period. End of story. Armando, you've been holding for a long time at KERN. Welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, Armando?
Not too bad, not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Delighted.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I want to know what's on your mind, Armando.
Okay, so as you can tell by my name, I am of Mexican descent. I'm half white. I like to call myself a coconut. Brown on the outside, white on the inside. But anyway, beside the point, it was a great move that Trump made going to Mexico. It proves that we can have decent relations with our neighbors. With that being said, I completely agree with Dr. Savage. You can't deport 40 million people. It would be mayhem. There would be blood in the streets. You know, I've got three neighbors on just my street that are illegal. I'm not trying to fight with any of them. So, instead, and this is really unorthodox, I think one thing that Trump can do is, while he's still campaigning, announce that he's going to grant citizenship to all these people that have been living here peacefully. Like Dr. Savage says, we have a third of our population that we're caring for. We can't afford to keep paying for them. Let's get rid of them. You know, the ones that are in jail, let's get rid of them. We already know they're criminals. The rest of them, they're holding jobs. Like he said, who's going to work those jobs? Okay, so let them keep them. But figure out how long they've been here. Have them pay 10%, or I'm just throwing out a number here, have them pay 10% of the taxes that they would have paid in the amount of time that they've been working here had they been legal. We get a big...
Hey, Armando, we could use that money to build the wall. Hey, Armando, I got to scoot. I'm running very long in this segment. Tell me this. Were you born here? Are you a legal citizen, or did you come here illegally?
No. I was born here. Like I said, my mother's...
All right.
My father came to Mexico, came from Mexico when he was 6 years old.
Armando, I wish I had more time. I'd love to talk to you longer. We got to scoot, I'm afraid. It's Doug Urbanski here filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Look, you can say what you want about Trump, but he's never done anything that rises to the level of leaving our borders open to illegal invaders or saddling us with a $19 trillion debt. He's never done anything unconstitutional. He's never sold influence to the highest bidder for personal gain. Trump became successful by surrounding himself with the best, with like-minded people who were all working for the same goal. To create something, to build something of value, not to work to destroy what already exists. He's a manager, not an ideologue like most politicians are these days. Very important that you understand the distinction there. I'd like to squeeze in one more call this hour. Rob at KSFO. Welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, Rob?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
It's a delight. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say Trump takes a lot of heat from the Democrats about his immigration position and whatnot. And I just think that, they need to look back a little bit. Remember that Jimmy Carter in 1979 deported 15,000 Iranians. And this was over the hostage situation by the, Muslim group in Iran. And these were people that had violated or were in violation or would be in violation of their visas, and he also believed that they may be a threat to the U.S. Now, the Walter McCarran Act that was enacted in 19...
Well, no, without getting into tall grass, Rob, because we have to go very shortly, you were making the point about Democrats having a lot of hypocrisy in immigration.
Correct. And
but you see, it's the old Democrats are different from the new ones. The new ones are hard leftists who want to really bring America down. Even in the old days, someone like Lyndon Johnson, who brought us the worst of the worst of the Great Society, even he was an anti-communist.
The point is that the president still has that power.
The president does and does. Trump, thank you very much for calling the Seventh Nation, Rob. Trump will hit the ground running on day one. Do you doubt it for a second, ladies and gentlemen? Doug Urbanski for Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So I'm thinking that we should spend a few moments talking about Mexico's immigration policy themselves, something almost no one ever talks about. It's Douglas Urbanski, ladies and gentlemen, filling in for Michael Savage. Your phone calls are welcome. 1-855-400-7282 is the phone number. The website is www.michaelsavage.com. And I'm making the case here that Trump created a game-changing moment. He changed the election, and if he can hold to this, he's going to win the election. Now, it's very important, before you start saying he's an ignoramus or a bigot or these words that lefties love to use to describe him, it's very important that you understand that Mexico itself has immigration policies, and I guarantee you that when he was alone with the president of Mexico, this is one of the things they discussed. Mexico deported more illegal aliens than the United States did in 2014 as part of its very strict border control policies. So you have Mexican National Border Control Council in Mexico. It is a felony to cross the border into Mexico illegally. There is no green card, no food stamps, no pathway to Mexican citizenship. A very good friend of mine over the weekend showed me, I'm a fan, an enormous fan of Dr. Milton Friedman. If you're not familiar with his work, go online, go on YouTube, watch his amazing economic lectures. But they're also social lectures. Milton Friedman gives a talk about illegal immigration. And he tells you, for a good portion of the talk, how good it is for everybody. And he will convince you that that is the case, and it no doubt is good for everybody. And then he drops the bombshell that illegal immigration is a great thing for everybody, provided the immigration does not involve a welfare state, which is what we now are in the United States of America. So, in Mexico, it is a felony to cross into the border. It is not a welfare state in the same way. There's no green card, no food stamps, no pathway to Mexican citizenship. Mexico's legal immigration policies, are designed with thought in mind. What are the skill sets of the type of person our country needs? That's what they ask in Mexico. They do not talk about letting in all of those who do the work that Mexicans won't do. Mexican immigration laws accept those who have the necessary funds for sustenance. They do not allow entry for those who are not healthy and for those, to quote, who would upset the equilibrium of national demographics. So, there's not going to be any fundamental transformation of Mexico under the Mexican laws and constitution, and yet the left in America talk constantly about a fundamental transformation. They want to invite illegal immigration with jobs, service in the U.S. military, driver's licenses, discounted college tuition that is denied to U.S. citizens from another state. Mexico slams the door on such things. In the Mexican Constitution, Article 32, it bans non-native-born residents from holding sensitive jobs. It bans non-native-born Mexicans from joining the country's military in peacetime. Article 33 of the Mexican Constitution gives the President of Mexico the right to deport foreigners at will without a deportation hearing. That, by the way, 90% of our current illegals in this country fail to show up for. Foreigners in Mexico are prohibited from participating in Mexican politics in any way. I presume that would also mean voting. So all Donald Trump has to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to say that we are going to do exactly what Mexico does. It's very simple. I recently researched buying property in Mexico. Do you realize, I'm fascinated by this subject, an American cannot buy property in certain areas of Mexico. American cannot buy any waterfront, beachfront property in Mexico. That's illegal. They have zones. You can only buy in the undesirable zones if you're in America. Funny how that works. So, if in the United States we were to treat Mexican nationals the same way that Mexico treats the Central American people coming in, the left would be in a fit of humanitarian outrage. By the way, there are no sanctuary cities in Mexico for immigrants from Central America, from South America. Mexico keeps track of everybody who enters its borders. Did you know any of this? They have a national catalog of foreigners and of foreign tourists and immigrants, and they assign to everyone who comes into Mexico an individual and unique numbers to track them. Foreigners in Mexico who fail to obey the rules will be fined and deported or even imprisoned as felons. Foreigners, you or someone from Latin America, South America, Central America, if you fail to obey a deportation order in Mexico, you will be punished. If you are deported from Mexico, and if you attempt re-entry into the country without authorization, you can be imprisoned for up to 10 years. And the foreigners who violate the terms of their visa in Mexico can be sentenced to a Mexican prison for as much as 6 years. By the way, does a Mexican prison sound remotely appealing? It does not, does it? No. So, now get this, here's the kicker. Even if you qualify financially to become a Mexican citizen, you must pass a pretty extensive interview. You've got to answer questions about Mexican history, Mexican government. And by the way, the interview is conducted in Spanish. And yet, if you called for us to mirror their policies here in the U.S., you would be called a bigot. You would be called an anti-American. You'd be called all sorts of names. So Trump is on Fox News after this amazing talk. Michael may have played this yesterday. I'm going to play it for you now. He's making the point, the big point, the Reagan-esque point, that we will stop apologizing for America. Robert, play it.
We will stop apologizing for America, and we will start celebrating America. We will be united by our common culture, values, and principles, becoming one American nation. One country, under one constitution, saluting one American flag, and always saluting it.
What is so wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen? What is so wrong with anything Donald Trump has said in this regard? This is exactly what a president of the United States should look like and sound like. This is a man with a plan. A man with a plan. I tell you, his visit to Mexico put shivers down the spine of Hillary Clinton and her team. It had to have. His poll numbers are going up. He was 100% presidential. Presidential in his performance. And he showed that he's not going to put his foot in his mouth on the global stage as easily as Hillary's supporters are hoping. And do you know they're betting the farm in the debates as the election cycle continues to unfold that he's going to stumble, that they'll get him to lose his temper, they'll get him to act crazy, they'll get him to do something that is wacky. And all of this is occurring with the backdrop of her email scandal, her foundation scandal. These cancers are metastasizing in front of our eyes. And have you noticed, incidentally, I suppose it matters. Hillary does look terrible. On the stage the other day, speaking at the American Legion, her remarks were canned. She looked lost. She blew off Andrea Mitchell's question. She looked zombified. The fake zombie smile, blank eyes. If you had a chance to see it, you would see that her American Legion speech was tortured. She starts out angry. Then she gets petulant, as though she's been unjustly accused of something, like a parent who's saying, I'm sick and tired of... Contrast it to Trump. Trump is upbeat, he's energetic, he's enthusiastic, he's hopeful. Must be very difficult to support Hillary Clinton, this angry person. I think Trump, by the way, just nicely told Mexico to do what is right for Mexico and America. He told the Mexican president to be a real president for his people. Trump did great. I'm ready to donate $100 towards the wall. Look, he took a risk. He opened his hand to the adversary, and he went there. He showed up. He came off smooth. He came off diplomatic. He came off professional, polished, with no scripting. As I said earlier, he hit it out of the park. Now, I know a lot of people who thought that this visit to Mexico by Donald Trump was a terrible idea. But a lot of them changed their mind because he was exceptional. He surprised them. And Clinton has got to be just kicking herself over this at this point that she didn't even see. This is his performance, his brilliant performance, made an ally out of an adversary. He did that thing we talk about all the time. He put America first, but he acknowledged that Mexicans love their country too. He stressed the unity needed by our nations to unify against the Chinese. Brilliant. It's brilliant. He asked for help with the drug war, the illegals coming through Mexico, not necessarily from Mexico. It's brilliant. He framed it as a problem for both countries. This is the art of the deal. It's brilliant. Let me introduce the next president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. He looked the part. This new Trump started in Baton Rouge. It accumulated in Mexico. And who would have thought? Just wait. Wait until, and if he goes to Detroit, where no Republican dares to go, wait until he has some sort of, maybe a summit, sit down with Putin. You just wait. Trump got to Baton Rouge first. Obama got there several rounds of golf and several days later. Hillary Clinton, not at all. Trump has already done Mexico. Clinton, not yet. I don't know, maybe she fears that she has to answer questions after such a meeting. Maybe she will. Hillary is hiding. She's raising money. Yeah. And Donald Trump, we're told, is the bully and the stupid one. Doing very well. Look, Trump has... The media will fight Trump tooth and nail in everything he does and everything he tries to do. They're going to endlessly do this. The Democrats, the Republicans, the Planned Parenthood, they're going to keep fighting Trump all around us. Hillary will do whatever she wants. She'll lie about it, she'll obfuscate, talk like a lawyer with a double talk. There's zero pushback from the media, zero pushback from the Democrats, zero pushback from the so-called Republicans or Planned Parenthood. She envisages an imperial presidency, that lasts a lifetime. It's Doug Urbanski, ladies and gentlemen. The phone number is 1-855-400-7282. I'm filling in for my friend Dr. Michael Savage. We'll take a short break. I'll get to your calls when we come back right after this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You know, folks, we've seen all of this before. We've seen this whole thing before. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Your calls are welcome. 1-855-400-7282 is the number. In 1980 is where we saw all of this, the election of Ronald Reagan. The Democrat media, which was completely a monolith in that day, they demonized Reagan. They said he was too old, he was too dangerous. He was elected anyway, perhaps one of our two or three best presidents in the history of this country. They did it again the second time he ran. They tried to demonize him again. They called him every name you can imagine. But the people realized they were being lied to by the mainstream media. And while it is true that Trump is no Reagan, he's very Reagan-like, and Trump does have a history. But that history, ladies and gentlemen, is not something that should fill you with any dread whatsoever. It's a good history. To your calls, I promise. Dalen at WJR. Wait, you called me Tucker.
Yeah, hey, you called me Alex first, so...
You know why, Dalen? I apologize, because the name Alex was on my screen.
Yeah, no, I understand. So, is it... what's your name?
What's my name? I'm Doug Urbanski.
Rucker?
Doug. Douglas. Are you? How's the connection over there?
The reception is not wonderful, and, you know, unfortunately, my hearing isn't that great either.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's totally fine. Really glad that you took my call, and I'm a huge fan of Savage Nation. Listen to all of Conservative Talk Show religiously every day, like 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. But, you know, I have my reservations. You called for an invitation, and I really appreciate that call, and I would love to see Trump get me on his side. I want him to, and I want to see him win.
What are your reservations?
So the biggest thing is not so much about...
I gotta go shortly. Give me a little heads up, but what are your reservations?
Okay, so it's not what other people have said. It's what he said, that he's a Christian. I'm not trying to judge his faith or anything like that, but, you know,
yeah.
Trying to be a Christian and you say, hey, like, you know, I'd like to see the fruits of that. You know, I'd love to discuss what that is, because my major concern is, while Hillary is definitely a...
Can I ask you a question? Because we have to go very shortly. I'm a Roman Catholic. Does that make me a Christian?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah?
I don't know. I think that the main thing that whether or not you're a Christian...
Well, you're the one who put the argument out there, Dalen. I mean, you want to see something about Trump that meets your requirement of being a Christian. Look, I take him at face value. He's a Presbyterian, and there it is.
Well, let's get away from the religion in general, like
okay.
Just sex. And let's talk about Christian. You know, I'm going to cite C.S. Lewis here.
We got only a few seconds. No more time for C.S. Lewis. Dalen, it's interesting to talk to you. Thank you very much for calling the Savage Nation. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. It's interesting, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? I worry about this group called the Christian Conservatives. I have for a long time. I'll explain a little bit by what I mean by that when we come back from the break. Doug Urbanski for Michael Savage. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And it's Douglas Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. Today, Friday, Labor Day weekend. Phone number 1-855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE is the phone number. I see that we have, I lost the call I wanted to talk to. Isn't that always the way it goes, guys? Imagine for a moment that you've got a president of the United States who will go and sit down, someone who's an expert at the art of the deal, go and sit down with someone who in certain ways behaves like our enemy, the president of Mexico, and someone who wants to work things out, unafraid, sure-footed, confident, no apologies, no bowing, no payoffs, no promises, just let's work together to fix things. And to use the pressure of America to be able to achieve those goals. This is a new Trump. It's kind of the old Trump saying. He did tell us a long while back that when the race got serious, we would see that presidential side. He's giving Hillary and her team absolute run for the money fix they're having. They were all crazy about his going to Mexico. They expected him, of course, to make a fool of himself. He didn't. He didn't. And now the way she and her team have ridiculed him makes them look like the ones who are stupid. Like, makes them look like the ones who are xenophobic, actually. Hillary actually criticized him for going to Mexico, not looking presidential. Does she not remember? You have to wonder how her memory, well, we know her memory is not very good, in fact, because Obama did the same thing when he ran against her. He made himself look very, very presidential indeed. Very presidential. Rich at KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, Rich?
Doing great. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
The reason why the media is portraying Donald Trump's trip to Mexico and his campaign in general as an abysmal failure is their fixation on the facts, such as when the president of Mexico, right after their meeting, called Donald Trump a liar. And the reason...
Well, he didn't do that, though, sir.
Absolutely he did.
He absolutely did not.
When he said that...
Wait. He did not call him a liar. Can we agree on that?
No, we can't agree on
that. We can't. Well, then I can't talk to delusional people, Rich.
Well, so, talk about what the definition of a lie is.
Oh, goodness gracious. Rich, you know what I have to say? Goodbye. I mean, this is not the place for it. We're not going to use it. We're not going to use it to make up things, to report things that never happened, say things that weren't true. No, Rich, you have to do that. You have to do that elsewhere. John at WVLK, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today, sir? What's on your mind?
I believe what Donald Trump did, went to Mexico, then the immigration speech, I think is a great one. We need to be our next president of the United States, and he'll be Hillary Rodham White IV by 55 billions.
Is that all you have to say, John?
I say he's good. I think he's presidential. I think he'll be one of the best leaders since George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
Thank you very much, John, for the view. I think a lot of people agree with you. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's a holiday weekend. And let's see, on the East Coast, what time is it now? What is it, 5:37? West Coast, it's 2:37. People are in their cars going where they're going. I think some people have started to get out the adult beverages. I just think good people having a good time. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. We have here James at WFTL. Come on, James. What's on your mind? You know, Trump goes to Louisiana. He calls the Republican Party the party of Lincoln. He appeals to minority voters. Those voters, the never Trumpers, the McCains, think of the people who didn't run their campaigns this way. They were called losers at the end of the day. Their names were Romney. Their names were McCain. The never-Trumpers like that kind of campaign. They don't run a campaign like this. If they had run their campaigns like this, they might have saved us from Obama. Now, you would have lost the approval of the mainstream media, for sure. But you would have not had Obama as president. Catherine in Tennessee, welcome to Savage Nation. How are you today? What's on your mind?
With that last caller.
What's that?
You were so patient with that last caller who seemed to need to be convinced that Mr. Trump was Christian enough for him.
You felt I was patient? I pushed the switch that gave him the ejector seat.
Anyway, I wouldn't have been so patient myself, I have to say.
Well, you know what? You know why I was patient? But I'll tell you something. It's a hot button point with me, this idea that and I know you're a Christian, so I'm not going to insult that. And why would I? By the way, there would be no reason to. But, and I'm a serious Roman Catholic. You heard my little trick question I asked him?
Yes.
And you heard his answer?
Yes.
When I said, "Do you think I'm a Christian?" He said, his ultimate answer was, "I'm not so sure."
Right. Absolutely. I didn't think that he was so sure about anything. He struck me as one of those pseudo-intellectuals that tried to be the smartest guy at the party.
Well, yes, but also, there is a stripe, and it's not all Christians out there, but there's an ugly stripe amongst them. And I'm interrupting your point that you want to make, and I'm going to let you make it. I'm a great interrupter. I interrupt myself half the time, in fact. But I Catherine, Jerry Falwell, I think, was a pretty smart guy. Excuse me. And his son is also a pretty smart guy. And Jerry Falwell supported Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan was a guy who was a divorced guy. He had a very fractured family life. but he clearly was a strong leader. And Falwell said, we don't need a Sunday school teacher. He said, we've just had one of those. That was Jimmy Carter. We saw how that worked out. And Falwell's son has taken the same view. Now, your point. Catherine, did we lose you?
No. Hello?
Yes. What was your point?
Well, my point is, I wish my sentiments are the same as Mr. Falwell's. As a Christian conservative, Mr. Trump, to me, represents like that tank that is rolling forward, and always forward. He is the one sent to get this job done. And you know, it's like giving Christians and conservatives cover to be able to get behind them with their little machine guns and get their agenda pressed forward. But we've got to win first, because there will be nothing Christian or conservative being discussed if Hillary gets in.
Well, and I think Jerry Falwell's point was, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think the late Reverend Falwell's point was, what you need is a good, strong leader who's a good, strong manager who really makes America good and strong and reliable. And if you're a Christian, if you're Jewish, if you're a Catholic, whatever you are, that's got to be the first order of business. Turning it into a Christian country that meets your definition of being a Christian is not the first order of business.
Absolutely.
And this is, incidentally, Catherine, why I believe Ted Cruz stumbled.
Yes.
Because he was the through line, the unspoken narrative. Forget his face and his demeanor, which I never thought. I'm a movie producer. I'm a very successful movie producer. I can tell you, I never thought that his demeanor was going to be winning. But at the end of the day, the subtle below the line through line was that it had to be his idea of a Christian nation, not the idea that all of us who are open-minded, including Jerry Falwell, had as to what a Christian nation would be.
Mm-hmm.
You agreeing with that, or are you not agreeing with that?
No, I'm absolutely. I was very uncomfortable with Mr. Cruz playing to the evangelicals as if you're running for the pastor-in-chief.
Exactly.
I was not comfortable with that.
And that is why what we saw in this in the primary season, that the so-called Christian conservative voters were not a monolithic group. They were very independent-minded. They were very much thinking for themselves. And I think it was an assumption that by the time the primary season got us all the way to Indiana, that Cruz was going to win, and that would save the day. When, in fact, the Christian conservatives in Indiana said, we want a manager. We don't want a dogmatic particular brand of Christianity as the law of the land.
That's right.
Well, wonderful. Anything else, any other points you want to make? Well, it's just the two of us chatting here, Catherine.
No. Except have a wonderful Labor Day weekend.
I intend to. Thank you so much, Catherine, for calling the Savage Nation. I appreciate the call so much. So ask yourself this. Has Donald Trump overall, has he been successful? Yes, is the answer. Do you think he has an ability to understand how to deal with people? Well, of course he does. If he didn't understand how to deal with people or negotiate with people, he would have been a business failure a long time ago, and no one would even know his name. I love the people who try to convince us he's a business failure now. I love it. All I know is his real estate holdings are, you know, and his success in business is a bit better than most of the people who go around throwing that around. Do people who Donald Trump does business with, do they always like his deal? No, they don't. Tell me the successful businessman who has a yes to that question. Has Donald Trump played both political parties? Well, yes, of course. You name for me an owner, a manager, a CEO of any large business that has to touch any phase of government, whether it's local or state or federal, who has not played both sides at some point. Unfortunately, this is too often a necessary step when you're dealing with governments. Isn't this obvious to everybody? I love how Cruz and some of the people on the far right would say, oh my God, what has he done? He's given money to Democrats. He's done this. Of course, name someone who's been in business and successful who hasn't. Does Donald Trump understand how to build a successful team that has an aim to accomplish a stated goal? Well, yes. Yes, of course. Does he know how to hedge his bets? You can bet on it without a doubt, yes. Has he made a lot of money? Yes. Has he employed people? Yes. Thousands. Thousands of employees worldwide. Of all races and creeds, etc., etc., etc. Does Hillary Clinton even remotely understand how to run a business? Any business. Much less a large business. A super large business. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen. The federal government closely resembles a large corporation. But I don't think any other candidate that has or had a hat in the ring has any business experience at the level, who's ever run for president, at the level that Donald Trump has experienced. I'm talking about the type of hands-on experience. Is he bullish? Is he bullish? Well, yes! But that's precisely what we need in a leader at this point. Do I like Donald Trump? Yes, of course, you figure that out. Does he have any faults? Yes, of course he does. Of course he does. But I find many more positive attributes to him than negative ones. Please hear me when I say this. Donald Trump, and remember, Hillary equals Obama, and we nearly got Kerry, who's a nut. Hillary equals Obama. Trump is the absolute polar opposite to Obama. He is the absolute polar opposite to Hillary. So the last question is this. Is the opposite, the polar opposite to Obama and Hillary, what our country needs now? And the answer is yes, of course it is. It's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You know, if anything comes of this conversation, ladies and gentlemen, it's Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. By the way, if anything comes of this conversation, if there's anything I want you to take away, you've got to vote for Donald Trump. You've got to prevent Hillary Clinton from occupying the White House. You've got to convince your friends and neighbors of the corrupt nature of the establishment politicians. He's shaking things up. I have no queasiness that he's a stupid man. He's not. I have no queasiness that he's unhinged. He's not. They're going to do their darndest in the coming weeks to convince us that he's unhinged, that he's insane, that he's dangerous. You watch. That's their entire playbook. Time for one last caller. Joyce at WJR. You've been holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you, Joyce?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Two quick points. For these Christians who think Donald Trump is not Christian enough, they have to remember Paul, who was the killer of Christians, who God appointed, who's written most of the New Testament. And they should read about Cyrus in Isaiah 45, who God appointed and anointed to carry out his purposes, even though God says he does not know me. That's what I want to say.
Yes, and what do you think of these people that have this test about Donald Trump and his religion? It's usually these fringe characters who have this idea.
Trusting God. Paul was a killer of Christians. God chose a lot of people that these people would never choose to carry out his purposes. Period.
Isn't that the truth? And by the way, aren't they making the mistake of being judges?
Well, yes, they are. And then again, I mean, what's wrong with these people? Would they want a congenital liar in the White House? They want somebody who can't be trusted with national security in the White House?
Wait. Do you think there's a congenital liar in the race?
I'm sorry?
Do you think there's a congenital liar in the race?
Yes.
And who would that be?
I don't understand the mentality today.
I know.
I'm 72 years old. I don't get it.
Well, you know, Joyce, you're a smart one. You're a smart person. What are you doing out there?
I am retired. I got laid off of my job. I've been through the whole thing, lost my home and everything.
Oh.
God has seen me through everything. And I don't know what people need to search this stuff out for themselves. Hillary Clinton, so upset about the KKK man endorsing Trump. Well, she loved Jesse Helms. Just like you said earlier, the KKK was started by the Democrat.
Well, so Joyce, before I go, you want to make America great again, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, I know you. I hear it in your voice. I love it. I love it. And that's why Trump is doing it, for people like you. I truly believe this, by the way.
doesn't get in, I think I just tell the Lord to take me home. I couldn't take another 8 years with Obama.
Well, let's stop that kind of talk, Joyce. You have a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and I hope things go well for you. Of course I do. Okay? Joyce, thank you for joining us on the Savage Nation. Yep, Trump's immigration speech, a real barn burner, ladies and gentlemen. I applaud him every step of the way. I applaud him every step of the way. This man cares about America, cares about the nation, our society, and our values. And let's not forget that as we get into the uglier parts of this election season. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Doug Urbanski filling in for Michael Savage. I hope we have a chance to speak again soon.